Sport. Grandstand Cricket.
There you go.
That's it for the day.
You can hear the bells.
And that is Stumps.
This is Grandstand at Stumps.
On ABC Radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio. And the ABC Listen app.
It's been a familiar tale in this series. At the beginning of the day, England on top, about to bat on a good deck and have the ability to take the game away from the Australians. And yet, they invite the home team back into the contest, and at the end of the day, momentum is once again with Australia. Well and truly back in the test at 2 for 166. The deficit is 218. Travis Head is 91, not out. The two men dismissed, Jake Weatherald for 21 and Marnus Labuschagne for 48. Michael Nisa, the other man at the crease at stumps, he's one not out as the night watchman. It was an eventful day, a day in which Joe Root brought up his 41st Test 100. England with 384, batting first in the Test match. It felt a little bit short, perhaps, in the position that they were in at different stages, looking like they were going to go well over 400 and perhaps even up towards the 450 mark. And instead, it's game on at stumps on day two. This is Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Sport. Corbin Middlemass with you on the boundary's edge. We have the umbrellas up. Got two umbrellas, one bigger than the other, but we got the whole gang here, the former Australian fast bowlers, Jason Gillespie and Stuart Clarke alongside me. Overall thoughts, first of all, Diz, what do we see here on the second day in Sydney?
I thought what we saw was a wonderful innings by Joe Root. I thought that it's one of the best knocks I've seen him play, to be perfectly honest. I thought his movements were sharp, crisp, which suggests to me he's judging length really well. And I just thought he was absolutely fantastic. We also saw probably one of the worst dismissals I've seen in Test cricket.
Test cricket?
With Jamie Smith. I thought that was terrible. And that's given Australia a bit of a sniff here, because had they gone on and just continued the vein and built that partnership further, England could have scored another 70 to 100 runs and really put Australia out of this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Jamie Smith's dismissal, it's hard to watch. Like, got out to Marnus. Come on. The fast bowling union's very, very disappointed. But England should have posted over 400 there. They had the prime set up. OK, Root got one that bounced, leading edge, good catch, and he said, no drama. Yeah, but what an innings. And to your point is, other than the first ball, if you remember, he sparted that ball outside of stump. He just was chanceless. He didn't look like getting out from the moment thereafter. And well played to him. His second 100 on Australian soil. So he'd be very, very happy with that. I thought the England bowling, there wasn't much trouble. How many times, I was talking to Aggers about this, how many times have you heard short, cut shot? Short, cut shot. And it just went on and on. And this is too much of it. They just have no consistency of line or no consistency of length. And the silly part is, when Stokes comes on and gets it right, they get a couple of wickets. It's actually not rocket science, is it?
No, it's not. But this has gone on the whole series, so that suggests to me they're not planned. So I just think they just can't execute their skills.
Correct.
And that, for me, that's just not good enough. Plain and simple, Corp. It's just not good enough, and they need to be better.
At this level, you've got to say that we talk about it nauseam, and it's boring stuff, top of off stump, but having the ability to bowl somewhere near there, or even if you bowl at express speed, getting it roughly in the right spot, you can't bowl short. Travis Head, it's like, there's no one in the world you do, but Travis Head, if you can be consistent, England have not got the ability to execute for long periods of time.
2 for 166, just repeating that stump score. We got 90 overs in the day. You'd be thinking, 90 overs, that's a success. But
you said that we were standing in the tunnel and you go, they've got a whole day's playing. I said, mate, they've had an extra half an hour for the rain. He went, oh, that's no good.
So the target was, of course, 98 overs. They got 90 in, 2 for 166 at stumps, the Australians, in response to England's 384. Just a quick one on the state of play. So I mentioned in the opener, it felt like, yeah, England had the chance to make sure by stumps tonight, Australia couldn't win. They could have basically batted them out of the Test match. Instead, not only is the door ajar, it feels like there's plenty of momentum with the Aussies now that Travis Head's blazed a trail. He's 91 not out, and they got plenty of batting to come.
Yeah, and the way Travis Head's gone about it, 91 off 87 balls, he's brought time back into the game for Australia. Trailing by 218, Australia's scoring at 4 and over at the moment. So if they bat till tea tomorrow, you'd expect that's, 50-odd overs. It's 4 and over. They'll they'll draw level, Australia. And Australia bat deep, remember. I mean, we've got Bo Webster batting nine now that Michael Nisa has come in. So Australia bat deep, Mitchell Starc at 10.
I was going to say, Australia, do they retire Michael Nisa hurt now? But hit in the arm, he just retire and then send Smithy in. Tactical. Ooh. Don't think he will. But Nisa will go out and try and get to take a little bit more hardness because the roller will, you know, help the wicket out a bit.
Yeah.
But to this, it's going to set up for a fascinating test match here. 2 for 166, 384. Australia bat well and bat quickly. They're going to post the lead. Australia bat, well, they're not going to bat slow. Australia get bowled out. They're going to be around about 384, you would have thought. Gives England a chance to bat again, bat well, and sets up for a chase on the last day. So it's a fascinating day's cricket. And the wicket will start to wear, and that bounce will become more and more up and down. So exciting test match, I think, is going to ensue for the next 3 days.
All right, we'll work our way through it. There's a whole lot of different talking points. We'll get to Joe Root, obviously, who highlighted the day with his 41st test match 100. He now has a pink ball and a red ball 100 in Australia. Joins only Faf du Plessis as the only other touring batsman to have done that in these parts. But Travis Head's the story at the end. So he's 91 not out. He's gone past 500 runs for the series. Last batsman to score 500 runs in an Ashes series was Steve Smith in 2019. And remembering back to that series, that was a fabled series for him, where, of course, he had that duel with Archer for the first time in 2019 and obviously got concussed and scored those big hundreds on his return to the Australian team. So this is all of a sudden turning into an all-time series for Travis Head. Memorable 100 in Perth. Gets 170 in the second innings on his home deck again in Adelaide. Peels off another 100 here. Ends up with 300s in a series where I think Joe Root's the only other guy to get multiple tons. This is something special from the South Australian.
And he was meant to bat at 5.
Yeah.
Throughout the series. So it wasn't, I don't think it was on many people's radar for him to be opening the batting in one game, let alone the whole summer. And it just shows his adaptability. He's come out, he's had a positive attitude. I think the England bowlers have allowed him to play the way he's played. He hasn't taken any undue risks. He's been a bit streaky at times, admittedly, but he hasn't had to take undue risks. As Stewie was talking about, the bowling just hasn't been as disciplined and consistent enough for long enough.
So when Australia goes to the top end to play against Bangladesh in those two test matches and then tours to South Africa in difficult seeming conditions, is he going to be the opener? Is this the answer we've been looking for, that Travis Head is now the number one in the Australian lineup?
That's actually a very, very interesting question. Australian, and Andrew McDonald said this only, that batting orders are fluid, and he's been very open about this. Orders are whatever you want them to be and whenever you need them to be. So,
do you subscribe to that?
I don't know. I'm not sure I do, but I'm also, you know, from a generation gone. They're a new generation. I think there is a specific skill set to open the batting, though. I think some guys, there's going to be guys that can do it and there's going to be guys that can't do it. And, you know, Travis Head, he's one of a very few that's really, really adaptable, and he's batted in the middle, and when I say middle, 5 and 6, and now he's at the top of the order. Smith tried it, arguably our best batsman since Bradman, didn't have the greatest time.
The numbers don't lie, though, Sam. Yeah.
No,
this summer.
Yeah, he can do it. Is he going to stay there, though? I don't know. My thoughts are that they will assess it when they get there, and they'll go, if they can't find another suitable opener, then he probably will. But if they can, he may go back to 5. I don't know if I subscribe to that, but it seems to be the way Andrew McDonald and the team are working at the moment. There's no right answer, and there's no set batting order.
He's 91 not out, so what a series it's been for Travis Head already. 500-plus runs and counting. The men out today, Labuschagne for 48, Weatherald for 21, and Michael Nisa is the other man there at stumps. He's the night watchman, got hit in the arm just before the close of play. We anticipate that he will open the batting, or at least come in tomorrow and resume his innings when Australia resume at 2 for 166 on Jane McGrath Day, day 3 of the Pink Test. Australia trailing the test by 218 runs. Former test opener Scott Boland joins us on Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Sport. Scott, appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Night watchman required. All of a sudden, you're not padded up. You're out here talking to us at close.
What's going on?
You lose the gig.
I know. I wasn't overly disappointed, to be honest. But I think we just didn't want to have Starkey at 11, Ness at 10. I think there's too much good batting there to have them that low.
Mate, don't sell yourself short. Yeah, you did a great. You took on it in Melbourne. Should have pushed Nestor out of the way and said, "Mate, listen, I went out there and did it. I'm doing it again now. Bugger off.
I'd be happy to do it for one over, but when you do it for 20 minutes, it's hard work.
To be fair, Josh Tongue was bowling with some decent pace on there, and it was quite dark.
Yeah. You bowled well today, Scott, and you did as a unit. It felt like yesterday, and the scoring patterns told us this, England scored a lot through sort of cover and point. It looks like an adjustment from the Australian bowling unit today.
Yeah, I think that's their strengths. That's where they're trying to score all the time. So we know that. We put fielders back. We don't want to go for too many boundaries through that area. So if they're hitting singles through that area, we still feel like we're in the game. If one ball bounces and you can take the outside edge, that's what we're trying to do.
Did it feel significantly different than yesterday? And were you disappointed with how you bowled as a collective on day one?
No, not overly. The wickets felt pretty flat yesterday. It felt a bit dead. Today actually felt like the wicket, I think it just quickened up a little bit. But then as a bowler, it feels like the margin for error is pretty small. Like, it feels like when you're bowling back for length, you can get a bit of seam movement. But as soon as you get a bit fuller, it feels like it's a nice wicket.
Watching the game, you're right. It seemed to bounce and carry through a lot better today, especially when you took the new ball. It seemed like the game changed completely at that point.
It did, yeah. And you can see when they took the new ball, it was still the same thing. Like Jamie Smith's taking a lot of balls above his head, so there is some really nice carry there, which is nice for a fast bowler.
How's the ego going with Kez continually coming up to the stumps?
No, I didn't like it at the start, but I like it now because I know exactly where they're going to be. A lot of guys, when I'm bowling, are trying to either come at me or walk at me, or Harry Brook likes to run at you and try and go offside. So if I have Kez up there, I know exactly where they're going to be. That they're not moving around too much, so I don't mind. It's still hard running in, seeing him there.
It's not great for the ego, is it?
No, it's not great.
Occasionally, it's on fire. If you're going to bowl a short ball, is there sort of... Do you mention it'll be the third ball or the fourth ball? Is there any? Have you worked out signs like baseball yet, where you know you grab your ear or something like that?
Kez is that good? You don't even need to tell him. Like, I accidentally bowled a bouncer at the Gabba. I just slipped and obviously wasn't planned, and he just took so clean. And I was like, and even a few of the balls today, actually chuck one down leg, he takes it straight away. Like, it's been amazing.
Just on the Kez point, and I don't want to harp it, but to stand up to the stumps for the period of time he's done, it takes a lot of courage, but. You can almost not remember a ball he's misgloved. And, you know, you're talking to the ex-wicket keepers, oh, he hasn't hurt a finger. He's done... every ball's gone in the middle of his hands.
It's unbelievable. Well, there's a couple of times I bowled one today and it bounced and seamed away to root, and he played a miss and Kez took it. And I was walking back ahead. He's like, how is he doing that? Well, I feel like it's been a bit of a game changer for us. Like, we get them exactly where we want them. Ness is really good when bowling like that as well, so... It's nice to know exactly where they're going to stand.
In the lead-up to the series, had you done it much, even in practice, centre wicket practice, in the nets? Like, how much did he actually have experience of keeping up to you before the series started?
We tried it a couple of times in England a few years ago, and then we did it a fair bit last year at the MCG when Pant was batting. Same thing. Pant likes to move around. He either comes at you or he goes really deep. And so it's just a plan we have to try and keep the batters pretty still.
What happens with the pitch from here? So from what you see at the moment, how are you anticipating it to play for the next 3 days?
Oh, I'm hoping it just stays, well, hopefully it stays good for our batting innings and we can bat really big and try and get a lead. Obviously tomorrow morning's going to be pretty important, but we've got so much batting, so hopefully we can just take some time out of the game, keep batting, try and get a lead and see how we go from there.
What do you expect the wicket to do as the game goes on? Is there cracks underneath that surface?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, we've played some shield games. We played a shield game here and the wicket was... There was a lot of cracks. You could see the cracks on day one. It didn't look anything like this wicket. And the balls are going underground on the night of day two, and then it was all over day three. But it doesn't look like that, so I think it's going to stay good.
Scotty, how's the body, mate? It's 5 tests in pretty quick succession. How are you feeling?
Feeling good. Yeah, still feeling really good. Like last year, I only played 3 tests, but I sort of limped through. My knee was both my knees were getting really sore. But I've had got back from West Indies, had a really good sort of mini pre-season.
Yep.
Managed my load through some games, through 3 shield games, and then now for the 5th test. So I'm pretty happy with how my body's feeling. Obviously, 26 overs, I'll probably be a bit sore in the morning.
Yeah.
And then just crack on for the second dig. We know we've got 10 wickets to go.
Yeah, no, you've been bowling well, mate. Well done.
Thanks. Appreciate your time, Scott. Rest up.
Thank you very much.
Scott Boland from the Australian cricket team with us. Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Sports. So 2 for 166 Australia in their first innings after England were all out for 384. So the deficit is 218 in the Test match. Travis Head to resume, 91 not out. And Michael Nisa is also unbeaten at the moment on one. So 2 for 166, the Australian score, after Joe Root made 160 earlier today. What did I miss? I just heard you take the headset off and there was an Australian captain walking past.
So Steve Smith walked past. He's got this big grin on his face. He's got a dizzy, it wasn't me. It wasn't me about the spinners. good banter. It's all good fun.
They don't hear what the press say. They don't listen to any of it.
He said, I heard what you said.
He reads everything else. I said to him, I was talking to him about the wicket, and I just asked him, so what do you think of the wicket? And he said yesterday it was really flat. And then he said it was almost, I was like bowling at Royal Pindi. I'm not sure that's right. And then he said today it was like bowling at Optus Stadium. It came to life. And he said the wicket's a good wicket, he thinks. He doesn't think there's any cracks underneath. So it's interesting getting different people's perspectives. And Smithy, being the cricket nothing that he is, right?
Yeah.
He would, as we saw in Melbourne, he got it right. Before the game, he went, hang on, I'm not sure about this wicket.
Absolutely.
He's all over it.
The other two batsmen dismissed today. So Weatherald for 21. Felt a little bit like same old story for Jake Weatherald, and it wasn't so much that he missed out, it was the way he missed out. So out leg before wicket, fourth time in the series, we're starting to see a pattern emerge here.
Quite from a full delivery as well. But look, you've spoken with Eddie on the podcast, and Eddie's convinced there's a bit of a technical issue there, and maybe a blind spot that Jake has. And I kind of, the more I've thought about that, the more I subscribe to that, because he is crouching so low. It must be hard to those fast full ones to get into position to play that. Must be quite difficult.
Yeah, I think if you dizzy myself, we're not top order batters, but having watched and done coaching and whatnot, he's trying to hit those balls really square, and it's almost like you get that foot out of the way. It's like his head's across and his foot's. He's not aligned, and the non-alignment is creating the blind spot, which is then. He's missing that. And to be honest with you, they're half volleys, aren't they?
Yeah, it should be hitting them through leg side.
Yeah, it's hitting them through mid-wicket. I think he's going... So anyway, I think there's some technical bits there that I think he can fix quite quickly. And maybe he needs to go to Yoda. Because Yoda Ponting, Simpson, you talk to him and he makes it sound so simple that, his head's falling out, you do this, do that. And you go, okay, that sounds about right,
Talk to me about Marnus Labuschagne. So he's on the precipice of his second half century of the series. The only other one he got was in the support role to Travis Head in Perth. Felt like he was playing a similar role today as Head was able to blaze a trail and he was able to knock a few around him. He was dropped on 14. They had that shot, obviously, that was put down at square leg. But then he looked like he was on for a half century and then nicked one into the gully late in the day, caught by Bethel off the bowling of Stokes. Sort of changed the conversation around Marnus at all, averaging sort of 24 in the series, and he gets 48 here.
No, not for me. I still think he, come the second innings, probably a significant score is needed. He's underachieved this series, there's no doubt about it. He had a ripping start to the summer for Queensland in both formats and thoroughly deserved the recall into the Australian side, but he just hasn't quite gone on with it, and he's performed unders, I think.
Yeah, I think, look, we expect a lot more out of Marnus batting at three for Australia. It's interesting, again, when Marnus burst on the scene, he was all strong through the onside and hit, picking balls off middle stump, whacking him away, and, he's changed his guard, so he's batting on off stump now, and teams are not bowling it, they're just bowling a bit wider to him.
And he's a bit more open in his stance, which brings that right shoulder through a little bit too quickly.
Again, he needs to go into Yoda for a little bit and just get some batting technique work, because we actually need Marnus. He's probably the right age to be batting three, because Smith's a bit old. He's only 30 or 31, I think. So we want, or the Australian cricket team really need Marnus to, for the next 3 or 4 years, be coming to his prime.
Completely agree.
It's 60-odd tests now. He's been for a long time. He's good in the field. He's got leadership qualities about him. So, him struggling for runs is actually a problem, because there's no obvious replacement either.
To play Test cricket is a dream for so many kids across the country, just to be able to get here and step on a field at Test level, and then to actually do it for a prolonged period of time, have success, and then have days. And for Joe Root, he's now had 41 days in his career where he's been the story coming out of it. From a point of view in terms of, you know, century days in Test cricket, he has scored 41 Test tons. He goes equal with Ricky Ponting, and he's behind only Jaz Callis and Sachin Tendulkar on the all-time list in terms of hundreds made. Here's a little of how he did it today, en route to 160. Green on his way in, bowls to Root, who plays a late cut, and that's a nice shot. Pass backward point, downhill, away for four. In front of the members' pavilion, and there's that iconic chant again from the Barmy Army.
Boland is into Root, who's driving nicely through the offside, through extra cover. That's racing away towards the boundary, and that's where it goes for four. Travis Head gives it up.
Stark on his way in again, delivers to Root, who drives, finds the gap here. That is a superb cover drive. Joe Root at his best.
It comes again, towering over the umpire. It's short and wide of the off stump and cut down to third man. And Joe Root reaches his half century. Flags wave and Root waves his bat around in reply.
Here comes Nisa. He's forward, driving, and driving for a single. Down through a vacant mid-off, they go for one, they return for two, and Joe Root just punches his glove on his bat, takes off his helmet, and more gladiatorially, he raises his arms as he celebrates a rare century in Australia in a Test match, only his second.
Root settles over his bat, 149, not out. Stark is in.
Here it is.
Out through point, and Root brings up the 150. He's going big on Australian turf. England fans and Australians rising to their feet to acknowledge a legend of the game.
Three in the slips. He comes up, Root's on the walk, and then hits it back in the air. It's caught. Caught by Nisa. Very good catch. He miscued completely. Nisa rushed to the onside. The ball hung in the air, and he dived full length, cupped his hands underneath it and took the catch. Joe Root out for 160.
It's his highest Test score in Australia, we know that. Obviously, he got the breakthrough 100 in Brisbane. He went past that today, 160 in the finish. His 41st Test ton. But interestingly, takes him within 2,000 runs of the all-time leading run scorer in Test cricket, Sachin Tendulkar. The last time any player in world cricket was as close to Sachin in the run scorers list is your man Yoda, Ricky Ponting, back in November 2010. So nobody has been within 2,000 test runs of Sachin Tendulkar in essentially 16 years, or the better part of 15 years at least, and now Joe Root is right there on the precipice. The obvious question the pub debates are, does he get there?
Well, I'm going to say he does. We were trying to work out, so we're talking to Ali and 35, he's turned 35 recently. Does he come out to Australia again? He'll be 39. Now, in the world of modern-day cricket, that's actually not old, because guys are playing on and on and on, and he's not a T20 player, so he's not going to get on the circuit. It really depends on, A, the back, and whether he can keep going, and, B, whether he wants to. He may choose to, and then form and other bits and pieces. But I think, so, you know, if he scores 700 runs a year, that's only 3 years. And England have got a lot of test matches coming up.
England play a lot of cricket.
Yeah, they play a lot of test matches. And if he's playing one form of the game,
yep,
I think he's every chance to beat Sachin's record. He may not get to the 5100s, but I think he'll beat the most the highest test run scorer.
I think he's going to do it easy, Corp.
Wow.
Yeah, easy.
So that's three out of three. Darren Lehman said the same thing late on the coverage. And all three of our analysts are basically, lock him in, he'll be the number one by the end.
Yep, no question.
What did he do in particular here in Sydney that impressed you?
Yeah, so look, I've touched on this in the comms. I just feel that his movements were really sharp and crisp. And what I mean by that is getting forward or getting back, depending on the length of the ball. And he was allowed to do that, or he was able to do that, because he's picking up the length of the ball. He's getting the cues from the bowlers. He's able to judge that length and then get into position quickly. And that allows you, and what that buys you is time. And that time allows him to either attack or defend. And I think that's what he's done really well.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. His feet movement and his placement. One of the things he's a very good rotator of the strike. So he forces you to bowl where he wants you to bowl him to where you want where
he
wants
busy,
you.
He was busy, wasn't he?
He's busy. So if you get straight, he works you around the corner. But he can go. He's a bit like Sachin in the sense he can go straight. He can go around the corner. He can go right around the corner to find leg. And if you get too wide outside off stump, which has been his downfall in Australia because of the extra pace and bound, he'll open the face and run it down to third man. But if you get, then you go, oh, it's a bit short, I'll get full. He then jumps foot and cover drives you. So he's very hard to bowl to and tie down. And it's the reason why Pat Cummins, his biggest, people said, why is he scored? One of the big reasons is Pat Cummins and Josh Hazlewood aren't playing because they bowl a lot of balls in the spot.
In the hot zone.
In the hot zone where he's most uncomfortable. And, you know, that's not taking away from what he's done. Please, for all the people at SMS, it was a wonderful 100 today. He's a wonderful player. But Cummins and Hazlewood bowl the angle and spot. He really... That's you just got to be patient for long periods of time, Joe. Nothing else you can...
Yeah, it was a fine knock, 160. His partner overnight, Harry Brook, didn't last long. He went for 84. And then Jamie Smith, who we touched on off the top, out for 46. He should have been out. He was out twice in back-to-back balls. He was caught off a no ball, and then the very next delivery, he looked to cut and nicked a ball at head height between first slip and the keeper. He got through the 20s, got to the 30s, got to the 40s, and right before he got to 50, the new ball was about four overs away. Just mindless, just backed away on a short ball from Manus Labuschagne, slogged it out to Boland, who took the catch at deep cover, and that was it. They lost a bit of support, and England were soon all out for 384.
Make no mistake, England should have been 450. No doubt. Like, Smith had Australia. That Manus Labuschagne, for heaven's sake, who came on to bowl, leading into the availability of the new ball, had him on toast.
Yeah.
Jamie Smith had the Australian bowlers on toast, and he just gifted a wicket. It was brainless cricket. It was reckless cricket. And it's just not good enough.
If we're sending Manus to see Yoda, Jamie needs to go see Darth Vader. He's going to end it all. You're going to put him in the Death Star and you're going to blow the Death Star up.
two for 166 Australia at stump. So the deficit is 218 in the Test match. So two for 166, 218 behind. Jane McGrath Day tomorrow, the Ladies Pavilion behind us will be renamed in her honour the 18th consecutive year. It's always a big day, an emotional day. Everybody will be wearing pink. So if you're going to be one of the near 50,000 in the house and you're not wearing pink, you will stand out tomorrow.
Have you got your pink shirt, Corb?
I have. I've purchased it. I'm ready to go.
Shuey?
I have a pinkish shirt, yes.
No.
No, it's kind of a pink.
I've got to sort this out. I don't have anything.
Otherwise, you'll be open to ridicule, and we will provide it.
What difference in day that would that make? Maybe ridicule every day.
Pinktest.com.au, of course. It's all to raise money for the McGrath Foundation, supplying cancer care nurses to thousands of Australians across the country. So buy your virtual seat, pinktest.com.au. We've got 90 seconds before we're out of here. Damian Martin, I wanted to mention your former teammate, of course, who, you know, all our thoughts were with him leading into the Test match. He was in hospital after a bout of meningitis. Is there an update on how Marto's doing?
Yeah, from talking to Adam Gilchrist, who's been the information carrier, but yeah, very positive signs. They're looking at moving him out of intensive care if that hasn't already happened.
Yep.
They're doing a few tests still to ascertain that everything's okay, but at present, signs are really positive.
Yep.
And everyone is buoyed by that news, and as more information comes to light. But I think the best way I can describe it is they're positive signs, and if he's out of care, that's a really good thing.
Yep, he's not on any machines or anything like that. And when speaking to Gilly wanted to stress to everyone, Marto, all their family, his partner Amanda, are overwhelmed with all the well wishes and support for Marto. And You know, Marto, so if you're here, Marto, we love you, mate, and it's great that you're getting better, and we'll look to see you soon.
I can assure you one thing, Marto's not listening to cricket.
Get well soon to Damian Martin. Appreciate that sentiment. Two for 166, Australia. They're back in the Test match after England had the chance to bat them out of it. That wasn't to be. So England all out 384. The Aussies to resume tomorrow at 2 for 166. Remember, early start, 10 a.m. local time, Australian Eastern Daylight Time for Jane McGrath Day. We'll catch you then.